Feel led to read tonight out of the book of John, chapter number 19. I appreciate the good choir singing this morning and again this evening. I praise God for the choir at Bethel and appreciate you for all you do and what you stand for. I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 25 of John chapter number 19. I'd like to ask you to stand with us as we look at these verses together. And you may say, well, preacher, that's just exactly what you read this morning. It is. But I feel led to read it again. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to meet together once more. And I pray, God, as we've looked into a portion of thy word, that you would enable us tonight with the precious Spirit of God to stand and declare the oracles of God with the ability that only you can give. Lord, I have no ability of my own. God, if anything is said or done tonight from this pulpit, it'll be because you are doing it. And Lord, tonight I want to give you glory. And I want to give you all the credit that's due, Lord Jesus, for what you've done in my life. Oh, I'm wretched, dirty, and vile. But one day you came by and saw fit to save me. Lord, I've never been the same. A sinner, yes, but saved by the grace of God. I love you tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, tonight you'd minister to someone that's here. You'd give them help. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. This morning we preached from these verses, three verses here, a message that he had us entitled, Mother's Day at the Cross. But tonight we feel led to preach on this thought that where Jesus said in verse 27, Behold thy mother. Now, there was a little boy that was in school and his teacher asked him a question and said, Suppose that your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you, you know, mom and dad and five children. How much of the pie, if it was dispensed the way it's supposed to be, would you get? The little boy quickly replied, said, There's seven of us. He said, A sixth. She said, Son, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions. Remember, there are seven pieces of pie and it should be a seventh. He said, No, ma'am. You don't know my mother. She would look at that and see us hungry and say, I don't want any of that pie. And it'd just be a sixth. Boy, I'm glad for some of the sacrifices that our mothers have made. When they were hungry and they had worked and slaved, they saw fit to step out of the picture and ignore their own needs and their own wants and desires and encourage you and say, You can take my part. I appreciate a mother like that. There's another little boy that he had a Sunday school presentation and he forgot his lines. Now his mother had come and she sat in the front row to get real close to him and try to prompt him, you know, if he ran into any trouble. And sure enough, he got quiet and had forgotten his lines. And she tried to gesture to him and she formed the words on her lips, but somehow it didn't help. And finally she leaned forward and whispered and said, I am the light of the world. And the little boy shook his head. He said, My mama is the light of the world. And I'm glad as we were growing up, that's just what she was in our house. She was a light to us, to teach us about Jesus and inspire us and pray for us. When I think about these verses in Behold Thy Mother, I realize Jesus was dying on the cross. I realize that he didn't call her mother, but he said, Woman. signifying that their relationship was going to change. He was now going to become her Savior. And he was not saying, "Woman, behold thy son," saying, "Look at me, I'm on the cross. What have they done to me? Or I'm dying for you." In his dying hour, he put aside his own needs and he looked and saw her and was speaking about John seeing Mary. John, the beloved disciple, seeing Mary there, saying, "Behold thy mother." And yet at the same time when he spoke to Mary, he said, "Woman, behold thy son," saying, "I want you to see John now as your son." Understand again that Jesus did not send her home with the half-brothers and half-sisters because they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I get to thinking about when you behold your mother, there are ways you can see her. The word "behold" means to affix your eyes upon something and gaze at it and stare at it and see it for what it is. "Behold thy mother" is what Jesus said to John the disciple. And tonight I wish that you would behold your mother as well. There are at least 7 or 8, maybe 9 or 10 ways you can honor your mother. And tonight we want to preach on just a few of them, on "behold thy mother" and how you can honor her. I believe you can honor your mother verbally. I believe they need to know about your love. I think you need to declare your love and share your love with her in words. You may say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I say all the time that words are cheap. It's really actions that matter. Amen? I mean, someone says, "I love you," but if they don't act it out, it's no good. It's null and void. Amen? But for some people, that becomes an excuse where they'll never use the words or never utter the words to their family members, especially to their moms, and say, "I love you." Some of you grew up in homes that were not very affectionate, and those words were hardly ever shared. Yea, maybe they were not even demonstrated. But I challenge you to break that great big ice cube in your home and use those words and say, "I love you." In fact, the last time I checked, God Himself demonstrated His love for us in the fact He sent His Son to die on that cross. But you know what else He did? He didn't just demonstrate it. He said it. He spoke it. "I love you. This is how much." Boy, I'm glad, amen, if a loving God would share His Word with us and tell us how much He loves us and how much He cares for us. The Scripture saying, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. He said that in His Word and He spoke it to us verbally. You understand, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 teaches us that love is the greatest of all virtues. The end of the chapter says, "Now abideth these three," what? Faith, hope, and charity. Charity meaning love. But the greatest of these is charity. That's love. Love is the greatest of all virtues. Do you realize love tonight is so powerful that it could stop wars? Love is so powerful that it could overcome any division. You realize that love is so powerful, a force in the world today, that there wouldn't even be a need for any jail cells if we just learn how to love each other the way we ought to. My friend, the only thing that surpasses the love of a mother is the pure love of God. The love of God is unequaled and unexcelled, but the love of a mother, my friend, is great. I want to turn back here to Proverbs chapter 31, that wonderful chapter about the virtuous woman. I want to read just a verse there out of Proverbs chapter 31. Husband, you may say to your wife, "I can't say I love you anymore." I want to say to you, friend, you better. You better if you want to keep your home together. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 28, I say to you that we are to honor our mothers verbally. We need to tell them that we love them. Oh, preacher, they know. Tell them. I'm challenging you to tell them. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28, this is a wonderful chapter. But I want to read this one verse. The Bible says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." Now realize we praise God. But when those words are said that the husband, that he praiseth her, that means that he proclaims his love for her. You know why? Because he's well known in the gates. You know why? Because she makes sure he's got clean socks in the drawer. And she's living a life that's a testimony when she's out in the world about his love for her. That's what he's supposed to be doing. If he's doing something else, he's not praising her and he's not loving her as he should. I believe that, my friends, you and I ought to tell our mothers, yea, our wives that have borne our children, we ought to declare to them how we love them. Tonight we stood before God and the Lord had me sing, I love him. Boys, I stand in this place tonight. I'm glad and not ashamed to say, I love Jesus because he first loved me and he proclaimed that verbally. Amen. I want to say, second of all, that you can proclaim that physically. Preacher, what do you mean? With hugs and kisses. Me and my wife, we went out to eat this afternoon. My little boy had an attack after we ate, but we came home. We got back in our cars and getting ready to go our separate ways. I'd left my car here, and I'm telling you what, I just planted one on her. At the church, oh yeah, we did when we got married too. And every opportunity I can between then and now, I want to hug her and I want to kiss her. You know why? Because I love her. And I physically want to show her that. When I've been away preaching revival, I'm telling you what, I can't wait to get back home and wrap my arms around her and hug her. The Lord's given her to me. She's my helpmeet and I love her. And I'm not afraid to show her. I'm glad that our home is a home where we're not afraid to show our physical affection one for another. Amen? You may say our home is not like that. I want to say to your friend, break that ice cube. Be willing to show your wife you love her. Be willing to show your mother that you love her. Give her a hug. Kiss her on the cheek. Whatever you need to do, show your love for your mother physically. Why, preacher, how could I? I'm a grown man. I'm above 40 years old. What are you asking me to do? Bless God? Did God save you? If God saved you, then He lives inside you. My Bible says God is love. Love lives inside you. Why don't you let it out? Boy, I run into a stump right there, didn't I? Can I say that your mother showed her physical love for you? Preacher, you've lost your mind. They tell me that God gives that mother, that woman, a special gift. And when she carries that child, right? Now that child and that mother, they have a bond because they've shared something unique. A bond for life. Understand what that mother physically did for you. When you were born there, she physically took you into her arms there and she picked you up and loved you. Amen? She didn't just let you go. She took care of you. She diapered you in front of God and everybody. She diapered you when you had that mess all over your bottom and you stunk to high heaven. She didn't say, shoo-wee, let somebody else deal with that. No, that mother said, that's my child. And my child needs to be cleaned up. And she willingly put her hands in all that mess and showed physically how she cared for you and cleaned you up and put a fresh diaper on you. Many times she'd bathe you and put baby powders on you and she'd put you up next to her and she'd pat on you. Don't look at me and say, my mother never showed me physically how she loved me. For she took you up many a time when you deserved to be treated differently and showed her love for you. How many times in the middle of the night did you get up with some fever that nobody knew about and she got up and checked on you and put her hand on your brow and maybe she bowed her head to pray for you, amen, went and got some Tylenol or some Advil or something, put a cool rag on your head. She watched over you like a mother hen over her little babies. You don't look at me and say to me that your mother never cared for you, that your mother never showed a physical affection for you. I'm telling you what she did for you, what nobody else could do. You sat there with the audacity of saying, I'm a man and I can't say to my mama I love her or I can't put my arms around her. You must be crazy, son. I'm telling you what, she's shown how she loved you time and time again. When you hurt your knee that time and the blood was running down your leg It was her that took the washcloth and cleaned it off. It was her that said, let me kiss a boo-boo and kiss your leg and put a band-aid on you. Don't you look at me and say my mama never physically showed me love. Yes, I realize there are some mothers that abandon their children and walk away, God forbid, like Susan Smith, rowing her youngins off in a lake and leaving them strapped in them baby seats until they drown. I don't call that a mother. I'm talking about a mother, amen. One that would love her children. Amen. Just amazing to me how she's expressed her love to you physically. I want to say to you that neither success or failure, neither health or sickness, neither distance or time, neither life or death has separated the mother from her child. She loves that child. Same thing's true for God. God loves you, amen, with an undying and an unending love. His love is unfailing for you. He's proved that to you time and time again. And I don't care what you do. I want to tell you what tonight. God loves you. And He's shown you that. Not physically. Are you kidding me? After all the blessings He's given to you, He's shown you spiritually, He's shown you emotionally, He's shown you physically, He's shown you financially, He's shown you in so many other ways that I am inept to tell you, God has proclaimed His physical love for you. I'll get back to my subject in a minute. We ought to show our mothers love physically. Then thirdly, I believe we can show our mothers, or we can honor them prayerfully and patiently. I realize you've got a short fuse. I realize sometimes you get upset with your mother. It's happened a time or two in your life. But I found out as I got a little older that mama knew a whole lot more than I thought she did. She is smarter than I ever gave her credit for. I always accused her of having eyes in the back of her head, but I believe it was the Lord telling her just exactly what needed to be done. You realize how many times she prayed for me? For all I know, when I stand in this pulpit tonight, she's sitting in a pew at the Fletcher First Baptist Church, and my dad getting ready to get in the pulpit, she might be sitting back there saying, God bless my son as he stands to preach tonight. And she prays for me tonight. And you realize how patient she was with me? I mean, I made a lot of mistakes. She corrected me on a bunch of them. But not everything did she know about. We won't tell her about all that stuff tonight, okay? But she was patient with me. Well, I can remember, well, I don't remember, but they tell me. When I was about 10 or 11 months old and I started to walk, that I actually tripped and fell down. And she didn't say, what's wrong with you? Get up from there, boy! She come over to me and she picked me up and set me on my feet. And then she went and got a little further away and she said, come on. Come on, son. You can make it. Come on, son. And then I fell again, they tell me. And she run back over there patiently. And she didn't kick me and say, what's wrong with you? Get out from... No, she picked me back up again. And she run and did, come on, son. You can make it. Oh, I love you, baby. Come on, come. And you know what? She was patient with me. And she's prayed for me. Won't you be patient with your mother? She gets a little older in life. You realize that sometimes the roles reverse. For all them years you've been the baby and she was patient and praying for you, and as she gets a little older in life, now she becomes more like a child and you become the parent. Can I get a witness? That means you still ought to honor her, and you still ought to, my friends, show your love and affection for her and be patient with her and pray for her. Hey, man, I want to say to you tonight, fourthly, we can show honor for our mothers gratefully. What do you mean, preacher? You understand tonight, a mother is not forced to love. When I was born, God didn't say, you have to love him. She didn't get to choose me. I wish you would have. But she didn't choose me. I was what God gave her. And God didn't make her love me. She loved me because she wanted to. She loved me because I was what God gave her. And you may pray for her tonight about that. But a mother's love is freely given. And she gave me love before I was ever completely born. When I was still in the womb, she loved me. When I couldn't care for myself, it was a mother's love that watched over me. She sacrificed everything she had in raising me. I told you that story there a minute ago about that little boy and about how that he said that we get a 6 because mama just stepped away from it. That's what a mother does. Her love is freely given. And you know what? Because she's freely given her love and her time and her devotion to you, you ought to do the same thing for her. You ought to reciprocate that love back. Amen? It's what you need to do. It's a shame. I've seen some folks got good home life. God bless them. And then they start to get, getting ready to leave the nest and get out of the home, and they turn against their upbringing. Completely turn against their upbringing and forget what God had blessed them with. Let me say to you tonight, gratefully for all the things she's done for you, how can you honor her? Preacher, how can I honor her? You can honor her by a life that'll serve God the way she taught you, the way she prayed for you. That's tonight, thanks enough. A life that's grateful. What about number 5? A generous life is another way we can honor the Lord. I thought about this. Could I ever repay my mother? No. There's no way. There was a little boy who saw his mama fixing supper. He gave her a paper that he'd been doodling on for some time. And across the top of it, he wrote, charges. For mowing your yard, $5. For playing with my baby brother that drives me crazy while you cooked our supper, $1. For taking out the trash last night, $1. I made my bed this morning, $1. I come home with good grades on the report card, Mom, $5. And he handed her that note. These are the charges. Pay up. Mother looked at that and said, well, let me have a pen. She flipped it over the other side. She said, 9 months of carrying you and going through birth pains for you that you might have physical life, no charge. Set up with you that night with the fever that you were delirious with, the doctors had give you up, no charge. The times I've prayed for you when your friends had turned against you and you had problems with your teachers, no charge. The time you came home crying because that boy broke up with you. The time you came home crying because that girl treated you so wrong. The time you came home in tears because you were backstabbed on your job, no charge. For the nights that I've stayed up and worried and full of dread about what you may face tomorrow, no charge. For all a mother's advice, praise God, for a mother's counsel, for the knowledge and wisdom that God gives mom to advise us with, no charge. For taking my Kleenex and wiping your nose and your bottom, no charge. Son, you may charge me for doing these things, but the cost of my love to you is no charge. And she wrote across it, paid in full. That's generosity. I got to think about the time, Ken, and I think I took some suit pants over to Grandma because she's a good seamstress back in her day. And I took them over there to her and asked her to fix this and some shirts and, different things that needed buttons. And I took all those things to Grandma. And she put outside it, she wrote $5 for the shirt, $4 for the pants, whatever else I sent her. And then she took a red pen and wrote over it. She said, paid in full, love. Preacher, that's not a mother. That's a grandmother. Amen? I'm telling you what, my mom, she looks at my children. She looks at her grandchildren. She said, son, if I'd have known it was going to turn out so good, I'd have had them first. It don't work like that, though, does it? Spurgeon said this. He said that his own mother had prayed this one time, and he walked in and heard her pray, and he said, now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear swiftness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim Him as their personal Savior. In other words, I have taught them the Word of God as best I could, more than the preacher could. The preacher only sees the youngins 30 minutes, maybe an hour, hour and a half, a week tops. but mother sees them hour after hour every day. The Sunday school teacher only gets them for 30 to 45 minutes once a week, but mother sees them hours and hours each day. She said, I freely taught them the Word of God. And if they don't claim home on, if they don't claim hold on Jesus Christ as their Savior, it will not be because we did not teach them. It will not be because we gave them the gospel. It'll be because they made a choice to receive it not. That's generous, y'all. She didn't charge me a dime for teaching me the Word of God when she could have. Sixthly, what about we can honor our mothers forgivingly? There is no mother that's perfect. I know that'll come as a shock to a lot of you. Some of you thought your mother was just about as perfect could ever be. Amen? Some of you tonight, your mothers, and I said you wasn't perfect, and your children said, that's right, and you're about ready to flog me. But I remind you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even Mary, she needed a Savior. She couldn't save herself. She didn't die on the cross. She didn't have sinless blood. She hadn't been living a life of perfection. She needed someone to shed blood for her that she might be saved herself. Even Mary was not perfect. Preacher, she was. She bore the Christ child. She was highly favored among women, not above. Amen? Now mark this down. Your mother may make mistakes, but what about you? You're quick to point out her mistakes. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes it seems like the children, first time one of us slip up, aha! They want to point it out to us. Amen. But may I remind you, when you was young, who was it spilt the milk? Huh? Who was it? Who was it that time that hit the ceramic horse and tore it, broke it in two? Who was it that time that destroyed some of the items in the house? It was you. As a child, you made many mistakes. Yea, you'll still make mistakes from now for the rest of your life, probably. But you know what? Your mother loves you. In spite of your flaws, in spite of your mistakes. I am reminded of that mother in England whose child ran away and how she searched and searched and sought for him and put up posters about him, looking everywhere she could to find him. He never turned up. She kept coming to church. She would always come up and talk to the preacher before service. He and his wife. And she would stay in the service. I'm telling you, if your child ran away, a lot of you would quit serving God. A lot of you would say, God, you did this to me. And you know where they are. If you don't send them back, I'll just quit. The devil will tell you to and you'll do it. But that mother said, if my child ever returns, it's going to be because God brings that child back to me. And though I go through this, I will keep serving him. Boy, you need to have that mentality about what you're going through, Mom, what you're going through, Dad, what you're going through. Whoever you are, keep serving God no matter what. He's the only one that's going to help you. He's the only one that's going to fix the situation. And after years had gone by, she being faithful to church, one Wednesday night stood on this side of the building and through the back door came a hobo. Came a rough-looking character with very long hair. Long hair on a man? Why, we wouldn't shake his hand. We'd stand at the back door and not let him in the room. Don't you get legalistic with me, friend. He walked through with the smell of alcohol on his breath, his clothes tattered and torn, looked like he'd been living in a dumpster, and in the house of God he walked. Who does he think he is? You can't just come like this. Last time I checked, my Bible said you're supposed to come as you are. Amen. He came around the building. That mother looked up and seen him, and the preacher looked up and said, who in the world is that? She said, that's my son. My long lost son. And she ran and met him on the third row. She didn't care that he smelled like alcohol. She didn't care right then that his hair was long. She didn't care he looked like he'd been living in a dumpster with his clothes tattered and torn. The only thing she knew was that was her boy and she loved him. And quickly she came to where he was and fell on his neck
And she didn't rebuke him and say, bless God, boy, where you been all these years? You've drove me crazy. I better pull all my hair out. It's not what she did. She loved him right like he was. They sat down together, and when the preacher preached, he preached on the love of God. And guess what that old boy did? He come and got saved, amen? And he went home and cleaned up his whole life. You see, you can't clean a fish till you catch it. That problem is in the church nowadays is we want to clean the fish forever. I want to clean the fish. I want to clean the fish. Bless God, catch a fish. And then watch what the Lord does. Let the Lord do the cleaning up. Amen? The Scripture says in Revelations 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You realize before you ever got washed and cleansed from your sins that he loved you? He went down to the cross when you were still a sinner. Amen. That mother, she loved that boy before he ever got saved. She loved that boy before he ever took a bath. She loved that boy before he ever changed his clothes. She loved that boy before he ever cut his hair. You know what, amen? We need to learn to do the same thing and be forgiving. You can honor your mother that way. Amen. And then the washing and the cleansing comes. Amen. Last of all, I want to say you can honor your mother honorably. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, that a friend loveth at all times. And I'm reminded, surely there's no friend on earth like a mother. She just seems to love you all the time. Back here to Proverbs chapter 31. I want to read one more verse of Scripture, and we're going to dismiss. Proverbs chapter 31. You can honor your mother tonight by the way you live your life. I think you ought to tell her you love her. I think you ought to physically show her that you love her. I think you ought to pray for her. I think you ought to be more patient with her. I think you ought to be grateful for what she's done for you. And you ought to be generous. Some of you ought to take your mama out to eat. There's a lot of you sitting on these pews that say, if my mama was alive, preacher, I'd love to take her out to some fine restaurant. After all the meals she fixed for me, I'd love to take her out to some fine restaurant and honor her one more time. But you don't have this opportunity tonight that some of us do. Amen. I'm talking about you honor her generously and forgivingly. Well, preacher, you don't know how my mother's treated me. The best thing you'll ever do is say, I'm going to forgive it. Now, I realize trust is a different thing. I realize that. But I want you to know, amen, you can put that stuff behind you. In Proverbs chapter number 31, look with me, verse number 30. I think you can live an honorable life before her, and you can honor her because the Bible says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I'm talking about a mother that would serve God her whole life. She shall be praised. Mom, do you fear the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Have you raised your children in fear and admonition of the Lord? Preacher, I've done the best I could. And I want to say to you tonight, then you and I as children, we ought to honor our mothers. You may say, preacher, my mother's not here to honor anymore. Preacher, I'd love, you. Boy, you've excited me to think about mama. I'd love to honor her. Well, if you'd live a godly life here, one of these days, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take we that are unworthy but saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's going to rapture us home. While mama that's already outstripped us and gone on, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Mama's going to go. And then you know what's going to happen? We which are alive remain. We're going to be called up together with them. Amen. We're going to be forever with the Lord. We're going to be gathered with our families again. You're going to get to wrap your arms around mama one more time. You will get to hug her. You will get to kiss her. But all that will be secondary after you bow at the feet of Jesus. Oh, he's the one that loved you. When mama couldn't save your soul, when mama couldn't forgive your sin, it was God that loved you and sent his son that you might be saved. He's the first one you're going to look up, and the next one you're going to want to see is mama. Oh, it's going to be a precious reunion day, am I right? Oh, what a Mother's Day that's going to be. Hallelujah. Well, I believe those are some ways you could honor your mama. I think when Jesus said, behold thy mother, to disciple John, you and I certainly ought to consider our mothers and behold her for some of the sacrifices she made and love her like we ought to.
Stand with me tonight. Your head's bowed. Nobody looking this evening. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for a precious mother. Lord, we thank you, Father, for her guiding hand, for her praying knees that were bent in many an hour, Father, for our behalf. Lord, I thank you that you heard and answered prayer. And Lord, we give glory and honor to you tonight, for you're worthy tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us, Father, that are mothers that are here, God, that they continue to make those sacrifices and they train up their children in the way they should go. I pray, God, that you'd take the child and help them to honor their father and their mother. And pray, God, you'd help them to be obedient to their parents, Lord, be subject to them the way they ought to be. Lord God, I pray for the homes at Bethel. I realize the devil wants to invade and take over, but God, I pray tonight you'd put a protective hedge of grace and love round about each home. Yea, especially about mother. I pray, God, you touch now and bless as only you can. And thank you for this wonderful crowd who is so willing to listen tonight. I pray, God, you'd bless them as they go to their respective homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.